In this episode, you'll discover the one practice you need to know to start embodying a secure attachment style, no matter what dysfunctional attachment style you've had up until now. So welcome in, Heroic Husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. The three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: you'll know exactly what response to take at the first signs of conflict. Husbands that struggle don't know this simple practice. You'll have a precise checklist to use, helping you remain calm and grounded in any emotional upset. And number three, you'll have a repeatable process designed to inspire trust and connection in every conflict or disagreement you ever have in marriage, and indeed in parenting. Touch base within your nervous system. The whole of life is about your nervous system and how it perceives. Have you found yourself behaving and emotionally reacting in any of the following ways in marriage? And this is where we're going to touch base, or you guys are going to touch base within your nervous systems, within your minds, with what you've had up until now. The behaving and emotional reactive ways of what is called the anxious preoccupied attachment style. The emotional thermostat set point, it's set really high. There's a lot of emotionality there. There's very little suppressed or repressed in terms of emotionality. There's a sizing of love, and very often somebody with an anxious, preoccupied attachment style, when it comes to deep emotional moments, they're demanding. The nervous system is demanding, can get upset, and if you get upset and you have this attachment style, people around you will know about it. Do you find that within yourself there's moments when you're really threatened by space in a relationship, where you can get clingy or overanalyzing of situation? And is there any element of you that there's a turbulence and you feel that that is passion? If any of this is ringing home to you, there can be a part of you that has what is known as an anxious preoccupied attachment style. We'll go through these quite quickly. Dismissive avoidant, the emotional thermostat set point, it's low. Dismissive avoidant, the emotional thermostat set point, it's low. Dismissive avoidant attachment styles, when that is your predominant style of attachment in marriage, you tend to be emotionally distant. There tends to be this sort of a value of, you know, of being self-sufficient and independent. But the major issue with that is, like, it's avoiding true intimacy. It's not the self-sufficiency of, like, the empowered way. Part of you just doesn't want to disclose, or will take days, if not even weeks sometimes, to disclose what emotionally was actually happening in you in a certain given moment. But it's not, is it a regular thing for you that you just don't want to disclose? You don't even think about disclosing what's happening inside of you to your queen. There's a part of you that seeks to minimize and normalize distress in yourself and in a partner. Sort of like, it's, hey, well, it's not that bad, really. You know, it's like there's a part of you just turning the volume down on what's happening. You distract yourself with tasks, and you desire space, and you find that this is the opposite of anxious preoccupied. You desire space. You push away from being vulnerable. And if, let's say, like a real classic thing is, I definitely resonated with this, you know, if threats of a partner to leave, you shut down. Like, you just don't care. I used to have that trump card with my queen. It's like there was this super arrogant part of me that would just be like, you know, whatever. major sign of dismissive avoidant. So touch base with yourselves there. Is it more likely that you have that attachment style of dismissive avoidant? And then you go to disorganized or fearful avoidant. The emotional thermostat set point can be high and low. This is, it's like a pancake flipping off the first two. This organized and fearful avoidant attachment style, it's high and low emotional thermostat. You move towards and you pull away. You fear being too close and you fear being too distant. Within moments of each other, within seconds and minutes of each other, it's unpredictable. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by your own emotions? Do you ever fear abandonment, but you struggle being confident, like when you're with the partner? It's this double-sided aspect. So touch base with that and then secure. Well, I'd sort of encourage, if you're fresh to this game and you've just been listening to the podcast, secure attachment style, that's where you're wanting to go. Definitely that's where your queen is wanting you to go. Secure attachment style looks like you feel emotionally comfortable, you can be honest and open, you have the capacity to allow your partner absolute freedom in having their human experience, and you can merge together with a foundation of, you know, your queen's authentic truth can flow through her, your authentic truth can flow through you, but there's no breaking away, there's no creating that distance, and you're able to communicate feelings effectively. Conflict, key aspect of a secure attachment style, is conflict leads to connecting deeper. You know, you just are able to navigate any conflict, any disagreement, and come back home to being connected with your queen. A secure attachment style, you're highly resilient and you grow together, you know, at a healthy pace. It's a long-term deepening of trust and connection over time. If you want a more complete deep dive on this, you can check out episode 213. I'll have the link in this episode. I did a foundational episode, the four attachment styles husbands and wives have in marriage. It's one of the most popular episodes in the podcast. It's went down really well. So I definitely encourage you to, if you haven't listened to that, to check out episode 213. So with that quick touching base, if you're following me, I like bringing language to simpler terms. I personally, myself, I struggle with remembering these psychological terms: anxious, preoccupied, dismissive, avoidant, disorganized, fearful, avoidant. I personally, in my practice, I brought it to a metaphor, and with guys in Heroic Husbands in the one-on-one and the training and community platform, has become very popular, the on the bridge metaphor. On the bridge, super quickly, the metaphor is this: marriage and deep intimate connecting with your queen, intimate in the energetic, not necessarily the sexual intimacy terms. I see that connection as meeting your queen on the bridge. So if visualize a bridge over a river, and the river is the icy waters, the icy cold waters of heartbreak. So when you're on the bridge, if the bridge collapses, there's a major risk to you. On one side of the bridge, you've got your queen's fortress, your queen's garden. That's who she is as a person. That's her nervous system neurophysiologically. That's her personhood. That's her territory. The other side of the bridge, you've got your fortress. You've got your, that's who you are, your persona, your heart, your soul. That's you as a unit, as an island, that side. So, great intimate practice, masculine practice, is meeting your queen on the bridge. Now, we don't tend to do that. If you're listening into this podcast, if you're having quote-unquote issues or struggles in your marriage, you can be pretty damn sure that you're not predominantly in the practice of embodying the secure attachment style. So you're going to find that in conflict, in disagreements, if you run her side of the bridge, that's the anxious preoccupied. That's the high emotionality, and it's that neediness. You're wanting to attach to her. You're wanting that closeness. You're needing to be close to her so she can affirm. Effectively, you're needing to go super close to your queen so you can self-regulate. You don't know how to self-regulate being by yourself on the bridge. Running your side of the bridge, that's dismissive avoidant. That's like you just retreat inside of yourself. And in these guys, you might even be sitting in one position, but you're having this emotional reaction. But you will see that the running your side of the horse side of the bridge, if that anxious, preoccupied attachment style is yours, you're going to seek that touch, seek that hug, and you're going to be really deeply upset if your queen doesn't meet you there, and deeply upset if you run horse side of the bridge and she wants her own space. There's a deep hurt in that for you. You don't want that. You're feeling very threatened by that. Where if you have to run your side of the bridge, that's where you fuck off into your fortress. You shut down emotions. You shut down any desire to engage with your queen. You're curt, you're short with her. You're downplaying the gravity of the situation. It's like, well, it's not that bad. I don't know why you're making such a huss and such a fuss about this. God, there you go again. You know, you start judging your queen. And of course, fearful avoidant, that's a bit of both. You're running horse side of the bridge, but that gets suffocating. So you run your side of the bridge and you fuck off back to your fortress. You're flipping from one side to the other. Staying on the bridge is secure attachment. You really want to be on the bridge where you're not retreating to your fortress, retreating to an unfeeling part deep inside your psyche where you can judge your queen, where you can feel emotionally safe. And your emotional safety and your self-regulation is just achieved by shutting down your emotionality. That's not conducive to creating trust and connection. Running your queen side of the bridge, not conducive to creating trust and connection, because your queen can't ever feel safe to have her own emotional experience without you latching on, without her having to soothe your neediness, ultimately without her being your mother. Meeting your queen on the bridge is all about being able to self-regulate your own emotionality, no matter what conflict, what disagreement, no matter what conversation or situation is going down. You have found this core inside of yourself where you can breathe through any emotional intensity. And that is the key characteristic of masculine practice. So, lock in that metaphor. Lock that into your psyche, into your nervous system. The task is to meet your queen on the bridge and inspire her to meet you there. She's going to have her own fears. She's going to have emotional intensities. But you meet her on the bridge. And when you can meet your queen on the bridge, grounded, you're so completely there. She can feel safe. And you can meet her divine feminine needs, guys, from there, being on the bridge. Your queen is seeking, yearning, needing the medicine of feeling seen, heard, and safe. But you can only meet your queen's needs of feeling seen, heard, and safe. You have those needs as well, but they are the feminine needs. So your queen is going to, it's deeply effective masculine practice to make sure your queen feels seen, heard, and safe first and foremost. And then your seen, heard, and safe is after that. We have own curious truth. Truth is your truth at the end of it. Your seen, heard, and safe at the end of, at the second part, making sure that your queen feels seen, heard, and safe in the beginning of the communication. So remember the bridge metaphor. So how do you do that? It's one of my greatest sources of joy and pride and happiness in Heroic Husbands in the trainings. We've kicked off a thing recently. I designed what is called the Fierce Feminine Feedback Questionnaire, and there is a wave of the first guys who have sought, like, this is pretty much the most comprehensive level of feedback from their queens. Then it's 30 points with an additional page where queens can add whatever else they want to add to the feedback. It's a phenomenally powerful thing. And there's a wave of guys, and I've seen some of the feedback of that queens have given guys who have been in the movement quite some time. And one of the most amazing things that allows me know, and guys know, that Heroic Husbands, this approach works, meeting your queen on the bridge. Of all the different feedback, one of the things that guys are getting like 10 out of 10 scoring from the queen on is they never avoid conversations. And I'm just so proud of the guys, that the courage that they have. And yet that courage is built upon the knowledge and the wisdom that they have a checklist in their nervous system, that when they go to this checklist, they can meet their queen on the bridge and embody that secure attachment. And once you know that checklist and that practice, guys, well, then it's a case of it's practice. You train in it, you get more skillful in it over time, and you build that muscle of being able to meet her on the bridge and be fine and secure in your own nervous system, be able to self-regulate no matter what's happening in your queen's nervous system, and she eventually can meet you there more and more often. And then you just have this beautiful, secure, repeatable process that your queen can trust you every single time that you're going to be safe. So this is the process I'm going to teach you all now. It's wonderfully effective. The checklist, and you'll have heard me speaking to this before, but it's the ultimate checklist for masculine practice to be fully present with whatever is happening. And as I say, masculine practice is relaxing into intensity. Before we go on to this, like, the context that I really want to get through to, like, every single husband on the planet is the leadership role of being a husband, being a dad, being a lover in this time-space reality, in this period of human history. It's never been more challenging to be a husband. There is no more important leadership position on the planet than being a husband, being a father. No other leadership role is more challenging, and yet the rewards are exponentially greater in this leadership position than any other leadership position on the planet. You'll have CEOs that end up retiring and have earned like millions upon millions and have had all the success, and what they end up saying at their retirement party is like, what's their regrets? They didn't spend more time with wife and kids. The ultimate priorities become so clear to men later on in their lives, and they look back and go, wow, it just wasn't so important, was it? But I got stuck with it. So this leadership position, masculine practice, is relaxing into that intensity, and hence this practice is so powerful. The checklist that I invite you guys to tattoo into your psyche is stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. If you've heard me speak to this before, I wouldn't knock off now. I mean, this requires reminders again and again and again and again, particularly guys listening in, like, for ages. Always be careful of that part of your rational mind that goes, oh, well, I've heard this before, here he goes again. Stillness, sight, shape, state, story. I need reminders of this. Great black belts in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, when I was doing jiu-jitsu, it was like black belts would have this insane focus on the fundamentals. So these are the fundamentals. This is what I build my daily practice with my beautiful queen, with my kids. Stillness, sight, shape, state, story allows me to be that mountain in the storm. So pay attention. If you want, hey guys, if you want connection and trust as a repeatable process and simplify your entire married life experience, there's a lot at stake here. Number one, stillness. So you recognize conflict kicks off. As quickly as you can recognize, oh, There's a disagreement, there's a conflict, there's a moment of emotional intensity, there's tension, anything of that. And hey, the ultimate practice in this is like pre-conflict awareness of tension in your nervous system. But whenever you notice that there's any point of tension, I call it resistance in your nervous system, any hardening, anything that is outside of super cool, relaxed, calm, confident, smile on your face, anything outside of that, there's resistance there. The first thing to do is slow down your breathing. Breathe slower and breathe deeper. You can ignore this, but ignore it at your peril. Oh, but that's too simple, Mark. It's one of the most powerful things you can do in marriage. The very second you notice a tension has arisen within your queen, within that marriage entity that exists, there's your queen there, you're here, and there's this invisible field of energy. It's like the entity that is your marriage. You're working on your marriage, not in your marriage. Very much this is like working on this mystical, invisible bond between you, or lack of bond. So whenever you notice, oh, the bond is broken, there's a tension there, bring your awareness on your breathing immediately. That's stillness. Slow your breathing down, breathe deeper into your belly. Before you start mouthing off and acting and behaving, slow your breathing down. The second part of stillness is notice your subconscious intention. And it's a powerful practice it's a really beautiful trust-building practice to speak it to your queen, that awareness. The subconscious intention, I'd say the simplest way to put that is, do you feel that you're needing to be horse-eyed of the bridge, that there's a, you're seeking, the subconscious intention is you're seeking that closeness with your queen, or there's a part of you that's wanting to fuck off your side of the bridge. It's seeking space, distance. This is feeling threatened by the intensity of what's happening. The most powerful way inside of yourself to relate to this is there's a part of you that's really seeking that closeness, or there's a part of you that's wanting to piss off and retreat back to your fortress, your side of the bridge. It's a really beautiful and powerful practice to speak your awareness off that with your queen. Hey, baby, I just want to speak in awareness that I've got a subconscious intention that I'm feeling like a deep neediness, a need to hug you or to have a physical closeness with you. And in that moment, like, you can speak it and then go, baby, does that work for you? I'd like to be closer. This is you being on the bridge. You're owning what's live inside of yourself, and then you're seeking consent. Does that work for you, baby? And that allows your queen the space and the capacity to go, no, not right now. I'm just really needing my space now. When you are on the bridge and coming from that grounded, secure attachment style, that's okay, baby. Speaking the other part, hey, baby, I just want a presence. There's a part of me that is just seeking to run right now. There's a part of me just wanting to run from this situation. And yet, if you can speak that and yet be there on the bridge, you're not actually going anywhere, but you're aware that there's a part of you trying to run. That's sexy as fuck. That's really a trust-building thing. She can, the power in all of this is, in stillness, sight, shape, state, and story, your queen can read you like a book. Stop being like me for years where you try to cod yourselves. I tried to cod myself. I thought I was the greatest poker player on the planet with my queen. She doesn't know what's going on, you know. It's like I'm having a shit stir on the inside. I was codding myself, really self-delusional in, you know, I can pretend that I'm not bothered by this and I'll just tell her, you know. And my queen goes, are you okay? Is everything all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Every single guy laughs when I say that to them. It's like, has your queen ever asked you? It's like, are you okay? And it's like, what do you say? It's like, oh, Mark, I say I'm fine. It's like she's not asking you. She's telling you, I have known from a nanosecond inside this room with you. Within a nanosecond of you coming in the door, I've known that you're pissed. I've known that you're emotionally upset. They know. So the power in this process is really demonstrating within yourself primarily, and then with your queen, is you know when you're emotionally off. You know when your nervous system is feeling rocky, but you bring stillness and stability to the whole experience by recognizing what's off in your nervous system, recognizing your own resistance. That's a really powerful trust building, and ultimately it's a safe experience for your queen. The second part after stillness. So stillness is start breathing slowly and deeply. Second part, sight. Your eyes tell everything about where your nervous system is at or not at. Your eyes tell everything to your queen about if you're safe, secure in yourself, and you're going nowhere, and she can actually express and experience what she needs to experience, or your eyes will tell her, no, he's not here, he's not on the bridge, he's avoiding, he's wanting to run out the door, he's completely needy. God, I'm not safe to say anything because he's completely seeking to self-regulate off the back of me meeting his emotional needs. He's like a 5-year-old boy. Your eyes will tell your queen everything she needs to know as to whether she's safe or not. So you, being the masculine practitioner that goes and places your awareness on, what are my eyes doing now? And your eyes glancing at your sports bag? Hey, that's, you're wanting to fuck off to your own fortress. You're trying to get away from the situation. Glancing at your phone, seeking anything else that can help you self-soothe the situation. Just check emails. Oh, all of a sudden, there are these other things of greater importance to your nervous system. You're trying to get the hell out of there. And if your eyes are like full of pain and suffering, and you're seeking eye contact with your queen, but it's a needy seeking of eye contact. If she looks away from you, it's like you have these darty eyes that are really just needy. They're full of fear, and they're incessantly looking at every single scrap of data that you can see on your queen's face, in her posture, and everything that's happening with her, to see, is she okay? Is she okay? I said that thing, but how did she respond? That's going horse-eyed at a bridge. She's never going to feel safe where she can have her own human experience. Again, you can speak these things. You can speak, hey baby, I just noticed my eyes went to the clock. Hey, there's that part of me that's just wanting this to end. I want to speak that, but I'm fully here. My apologies for that. I'm aware of that. I am fully here. Again, I am fully here. That's the verbal version of I'm on the bridge. I really want to know what you want to say to me. Excuse me that my eyes were darting off. Hey, I'm finding this is hard. There's a part of this that is intense, but I'm really here with you. So awareness of your sight and soft, practicing a soft, loving, direct eye gaze. Not direct eye gaze like you see in UFC or, you know, like in the when the guys get off the weighing scales and they do the battle stare. No, it's not that sort of eye contact. It's a soft, non-judgmental, loving eye gaze. Bring your eyes to your queen. Let her know you're there with her on the bridge. Number 3. So you've stillness, breath, slow down, breathe. Sight, keep your eyes direct with her. No matter what's happening emotionally inside yourself, when you're breathing deep, that's going to be massaging and moving the emotions inside of you. So you're going to be self-regulating with a slow, deep breath. Eyes, direct with her. Yes, it will trigger a ton of resistance in your nervous system. It's intense, but hey, being on the bridge is an intense practice. Breathe through it. Hold your eye gaze with her. Number 3 is shape. Shape is all about your posture and being aware of your posture and your body. Where where your body is relevant to your queen and what movement there is and what positions your body are taking up. Again, in all of this, there's this foundational practice that your body is transmitting a message that is evoking response. Constantly, you can't. That's the one principle that you just cannot escape in marriage, in life. Your body is transmitting a message. And all of heroic husbands in this approach, we place 100% of our awareness in optimizing the message our body is transmitting, which gives you, it stacks all the statistical probability in your favor of evoking response that your queen feels seen, heard, and safe with you. You're on the bridge. Your nervous system is on the bridge. So shape, you know, quite literally, where's your body yearning to go? You'll, if you've done the stillness and you've noticed the subconscious intention, your body, I need to be beside her. I need her. And like you're feeling threatened if she doesn't want to meet you there. She like says no, just like she pushes you away. Or your body, one thing I used to notice, guys, and you'll notice this, the second part, my subconscious tendency predominantly, probably 85% of the time, is to seek to create distance. Anytime my queen would bring up conversations in the past, if I remained in the same room as her, because there are times I just fucked off and ignored the thing, it's like catastrophic when I look back, but hey, I didn't have the emotional toolbox I have now. But in a room, you would notice I would end up positioning myself as far away from my queen physically in the room. I would be the far side of the kitchen, the far side of the bedroom. If I was on the bed, I'd literally shimmy my body as far away. I'd be nearly... She used to, well, just not laugh in the open-hearted way. She was like, God, you know, it's like you're about to fall out of the bed. I would, my body, my shape would be trying to create a distance because I didn't feel, that part of me didn't feel safe to be close. So notice your body. Notice your posture. You know, if your arms crossed, folded, fists clenched, you just notice, relax. Relax your body, unfold your arms. Come back as close to your queen, but seeking... touching base with your queen. Baby, I'd love to be closer with you. Or you don't, you mightn't even have to formally, verbally seek that consent. Pay attention. You know, move your chair over to be closer to her. And if she shimmies away, just sit where she's comfortable. But sit at that edge, meet her on the bridge, as close to her as she is comfortable in that moment and being. And be there, meet her on the bridge. And you'll find that when you respect where she is at in that moment without getting upset, you're meeting her on her bridge. She can be in on her side of the bridge. She can be needing some space to self-regulate, to figure her shit out. Masculine practices, you'll meet her on the bridge and you'll inspire her to meet you there. You won't require her. That's another key thing we say in the movement. Inspire, don't require. Again, this is masculine practice. You could listen to this episode and go, well, why do I have to do all of this, Mark? Like, I mean, that's, I mean, she should do it as well. I don't find that's a very effective way of looking at it. It's very much what the therapeutic approach is. But the therapeutic approach, and there's tons of communication approaches out there that puts both masculine, feminine, husband, wife, king, queen, into the same role, into the same practice, into the same system of communicating. There can't be a power there, but it's been my experience, and my queen has definitely like been an emphatic fan of the system that I have come up with. It doesn't allow your queen be full feminine, untamable, unpredictable, unboxable. That's full feminine, the full craziness. The feminine practice is to be in integrity with allowing, being honest with the emotion that's going through her nervous system. Masculine practices integrity with word. So this is all set up for you to play the masculine role and to allow your queen play the feminine role. There is a difference in the expectations, in the practice, both sides. It works. So shape, you come back as close, open-hearted, chest open. If you're standing, standing upright, sitting, you know, hands on the laps or have a hand on her thigh, just, you know, I'm here, I'm on the bridge. Always being aware to what she's comfortable with, that your hand on her lap is not meeting your needs if she's feeling uncomfortable with it. Number four, state. So you've touched base, you're breathing deep. You've spoken your awareness of your subconscious intention. Eyes, you've optimized your eyes. You're, no matter what your eyes were doing in the beginning, you're repeatedly bringing your awareness back to your eyes. Soft, open-hearted, loving gaze directly to your queen's eyes. Shape, you've optimized where your body is in this space. You've touched base. You haven't suffocated your queen if she is needing space in that moment. And you've brought back, you've relaxed out any tension points in your posture. Number four is state. Stillness, sight, shape, state. It's name it to tame it. That's not my phrase, but it's a real simple idea. The amygdala thalamus connection in your brainstem, that's the center of emotional reactivity, emotional intensity in your nervous system. And there's this super amazingly powerful thing that happens. It's the system is set up so beautifully, guys. If you can just become aware of how your mind works, how your nervous system works, and you can put into play these ideas, it transforms everything. Emotional state. So state, the awareness of your emotional state is key. When you can place a name to the emotional state that you're experiencing, and you can speak it. If you are speaking and owning, hey, there's a part of me that's feeling anger. And I encourage you again, there's a part of me, not all of me. If you say, I'm angry, it's making a big declaration that every single cell in your nervous system, I am, all of me is angry. I'm frustrated. I'm jealous. I'm hurt. It's not conducive. The highest end practices, baby, I want a presence. I want to be honest. There's a part of me feeling jealous. There's a part of me feeling frustrated. There's a part of me feeling anger. And you don't magnify. You don't have to tell her how high, how low, minimize it. There's a little bit. I'm a little bit angry. Just there's a part of me feeling anger. And don't magnify it too much. There's a part of me feeling intense, mad, crazy anger. No, just be objective with it. Be, it's there or it's not. A part of me is feeling anger. A part of me is feeling frustrated. A part of me is feeling disappointed. There's a part of me feeling whatever. Within a nanosecond or a couple of nanoseconds of you speaking that out, what happens in your amygdala and thalamus? It downregulates. Functional on functional MRI, they've done tons of studies on this, that once you name the emotional state you're experiencing for a stress-inducing emotional state, like one of those gnarly, uncomfortable emotions, your entire nervous system downregulates the emotional intensity. It turns the volume down. It goes, oh, so there's anger there. It settles your whole nervous system down. And that, when you practice that awareness of emotional state and you practice speaking it non-judgmentally, doesn't matter, your queen can have a reaction in that moment. You're not looking for her to meet you on the bridge. You're on the bridge going, hey, I want to own that there's a part of me feeling anger. As grounded, as non-judgmental as you can, you know your amygdala thalamus downregulates, and when that happens, hey, within a couple of moments, your queen will start self-regulating. She'll start feeling safer and safer. The more dropped in your nervous system becomes, the mirror neurons, which are the neurons, the network of neurons in everybody's nervous system, but the mirror neuron network in your queen's nervous system will go, oh, he's actually calmer than he was, you know, 10 seconds ago. Subconsciously, it'll be like, I feel a little bit safer. Maybe I can relax a little bit more with him. And the final one is story. So stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. It's an awareness of Well, where are your thoughts in the moment? What's the mental story that's most dominant in your head? And the simplest categories, they're not my categories. I don't know which the author is. They rhyme, but it's cool and it makes sense and it's simple. Blame, shame, or claim. You can have three different categories of thinking in moments of conflict, disagreement with your queen. Blame, you're shifting the responsibility to your queen. It mightn't be explicit blame of, oh, it's your fault, but you know, it's blame is focusing what your queen is doing or not doing. It's not placing your awareness on your body is transmitting a message and you're going to optimize that message knowing that that is what will inspire her to meet you there in the bridge. No, blame is what your queen is doing. Sort of like, oh, look at you, you're just retreating. Look at you, you're not expressing. Look at you. It's everything about what your queen is doing or not doing. That's not masculine practice. That's actually cowardice from you. So blame, you really, but it's to become aware non-judgmentally. It's like, oh, yeah, there's quite a dose of blame thoughts. There's a part of me just speaking, thinking blame inside of myself. Shame is, it's shifting the responsibility to you, but like with the heaviness of a 4,000 pound lead jacket, you know, shame is, there I go again, I've fucked up. I'll never get this. Maybe she deserves somebody else. I'll never be enough as a man. I mean, every single guy on the planet, it just, if you have any emotional challenge in marriage, there's shame there, whether you're aware of it or not. But shame thoughts are thoughts against you. I've screwed up again. I'm such a fuck up. I'll never get this. Will I ever manage to turn this marriage around? Will she ever see me for having any worth? I'm a piece of, like, there's, can be really gnarly things that your mind can fling against you. I've been brought to suicidal ideation and like really close to committing suicide several times. It's like I'm aware of how intense that can be. So no shame in this, just non-judgmental awareness of what the story is in your mind. So blame, shame. Claim is, what am I not taking extreme ownership of here? What am I not radically owning in this moment? What am I not radically owning? What do I need to radically own in the last 5 minutes, the last 5 hours, the last 5 days? Say it could be the last 5 years. You know, what do I need to own, or what am I not owning? And then you speak from there. So there you have it, guys. This is the foundational practice that I have. This is the foundational practice that I teach. I teach men that work one-on-one with me. This is like the intense foundational central practice that within a few short weeks, they turn their marriage around. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, this shit works. As Dean Hoag, beautiful brother out there, he's a former member of Heroic Husbands, just, he said, like, it's the ultimate testimonial to this work. It's like, this shit works. In the shortest period of time, for the men that have the spiritual balls to actually implement it and go, okay, I'm going to focus all my awareness on the message my body is transmitting, and I'm going to just stop placing my awareness on the response it's evoking and blaming my queen for what she's doing, not doing, blaming life. Fuck blaming life, guys. It's just not manly. And, you know, to be a real man, I get a backlash of this, and it's like, I love it when guys start going, it's like, oh, you know, real man, I don't want to. It's like, get the fuck over yourselves. Like, real man relaxes into intensity. That's being manly. And if you're there huffing and puffing, well, you know, about, oh, don't use the term, I feel hurt and upset about, you know, real man and toxic masculinity, blah, 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 blah. It's like, if you're doing that, that ain't secure attachment. I have this feeling that any man who embodies secure attachment will go, yeah, he knows what I'm talking about being a real man. Your queens definitely fucking want you to go and associate being a real man, that you're comfortable with that. Because an initiated man, a man that is taking radical ownership of everything in his life, knowing that he creates his entire reality from the inside out, that man starts breathing into whatever's happening inside of himself and his own nervous system, he will practice being okay with that and knowing that only from taking extreme ownership and practicing self-mastery of optimizing what's happening inside of your nervous system, then and only then can you start expecting that you can create trust and, hey, connection or reconnection with your queen and love and attraction and all the epic shit that this beautiful container, this experience that we call marriage can and should be bringing you, you know, like it's what a beautiful experience, but what hell on earth it can be. I've been there, guys. Hell on earth when you don't know how to meet your queen on the bridge. So keep those terms, lock them into your nervous system, tattoo them into your soul. Stillness, sight, shape, state, story. It's the ultimate checklist when the chaos of life, the chaos of your nervous system, the chaos of the storm, your wounds, your woman, your world. That's the chaos. That's the feminine of life. Well, mountain in the storm is the practice of stillness, sight, shape, state, story. Non-judgmental awareness of these key variables in your nervous system. And when you can bring them from patterns of resistance that are sending a fuck you to your queen's nervous system, that message, and you can bring them to flow, emotional flow, stillness, breathing deep, slowly, sight, eyes locked in with her. Eyes locked in with her, that's allowing flow of connection. Shape, grounded, open-hearted. Chest, sitting like upright. Sort of like an interview style posture. Why? Because in an interview, you want to make a good impression. Well, man, if you're not in an interview open-hearted with a smile on your face with your queen, you're not trying to make a good impression. So shape, interview style, posture and state, hey, name it to tame it, and story. Shunt away from your awareness away from blame. Shunt your awareness away from shame and go to claim. What am I not taking extreme ownership of? That will have your nervous system grounded on the bridge. And on the bridge, irrespective of where your queen is in that moment, she might be needing space. Maybe she's needy as fuck. Maybe that's uncomfortable. I know that was when I was seeking distance, my queen would have that more needy thing, wanting, she was wanting closeness, 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 magnified 10,000-fold, and I was seeking distance. I was seeking to, like, quick dial Elon Musk and, like, get me to Mars, man. Quick. I can't take this closeness. But this checklist will allow you be in the bridge no matter what your queen's nervous system is yearning the most. If she's yearning closeness, you'll be able to breathe through that discomfort, and you'll be able to breathe through any discomfort of her seeking distance. She wants you to fuck off and stay away from her for, you know, until she can self-regulate and meet you on the bridge. This will allow you to do that. So coming into landing, guys, this is simple to describe and it is a simple practice. I will note that it does optimize the approach of it to have direct feedback, direct accountability from other men, support in noticing what your blind spots are. It's a simple process, but with blind spots, you can be making these assumptions that you're being the Dalai Lama when you're not in the practice, because you're not noticing what seems like a tiny little nuance to you is is just blazingly obvious to a practitioner that has more experience on this. Keep a lookout for the upcoming intake into the training and community platform. That's coming soon. And if you want the path of least resistance to embodying this within a matter of weeks at an exceptionally high level with astoundingly rapid and radical improvements in the dynamic between yourself and your queen, check out the one-to-one coaching link. It's in the podcast description, either or of them as supports to shunt you out of lone wolfing. It's an amazing support to gift your nervous system, to gift yourself as a man, and hey, your queen, your kids, and the next seven generations, that divine masculine legacy that we so yearn to have for the generations coming after us. This episode has been in perfect alignment, as always, with the mantra of this beautiful movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.